Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're on The Burt Show.
Before we get into 100 days of good goes around here, let's all ask ourselves that same question we just asked in the studio. When is the last time you fully sprinted?
Oh, I've seen people doing this online, and it just looks like a bad idea.
What are they doing?
Oh, well, there's a trend where it's like, I've never seen my friend run at full speed. And so you say, and you film your friend running at full speed because you've never seen your friend run at full speed. And let's just say full speed is not very full.
Yeah, I see like these clowns that are trying to pay off, or they're trying to figure out who's going to have the draft order in their...
fantasy football?
Fantasy football draft. And so they sprint for times, and three-fourths of the guys that are doing it that are over the age of 25 years old are coming up with quad problems, hammies. When's the last time you fully sprinted?
Every now and then, like if I'm out alone at night, if I'm like walking back to my apartment, or early in the morning, if I'm walking to my car and all of a sudden my mind tells me there's a murderer behind me, then running for my life.
It's been years.
Fully sprinted.
Since I fully sprinted.
I can't, I have no recollection. Like, I don't know when the last time, like, I fully sprinted.
I hate to admit this, but it might be over a decade for me.
Yeah. Are you kidding?
I think so,
for
man.
For a full sprint?
You don't do it on a treadmill. Like, I did it 2 weeks ago on a treadmill.
No,
was it fast? No.
No, I don't go full out on a treadmill.
I don't either.
I usually do bike. I guess bike sprint, but no, it's different.
Bike sprint.
Can we please have a full staff Burt Show?
No.
Sprint race.
No, we can't.
Uh-uh. It can be 20 feet.
No, we can't.
No, because somebody will get hurt. If you watch the videos, everybody gets hurt. They pull a hammy. They pull a quad. It happened to Kevin Hart.
I know.
When they were doing that 40-yard dash or whatever.
We could go to that stretch place that Burt goes to beforehand and get all stretched out, and then we could do it.
You're going to need it before, during, and after. Also, Mikey, how old are you?
23.
Why do you always hesitate?
I never know.
It's because his soul is like 78.
I was walking around like, yo, my name is Mikey and I'm 23. I'm 23. It changes. I don't know.
It changes every year. You're right.
When's the last time you full on sprinted?
It was like a year ago in France. There was this ginormous hill, and my whole family raced up it. Worst idea ever. I was like out of breath for at least like 2 hours. Like it took me like the whole trip to recover.
God, that's terrible, man.
Because I remember my son not that long ago asking me to run, and I looked at him and I said, "Mama doesn't run."
Mama doesn't run.
I said, "I will do a light jog, but Mama doesn't run." So I cannot remember the last time I did a full sprint.
It's been a long. It's pathetic. It's been a long time.
That's why it terrifies me that if we did it, like if we did a competition, like if I 1,000% would hurt myself.
Or I'll call in sick the next day because we can't get in here. Not good. All right, 100 days of good goes round. We are on day 88.
The Burt Show's 100 days of good goes round.
All right, for 88 straight days now, we've been trying to do some good with you guys, helping out any way we can, and we're still doing it today. Just go ahead, hit us up at theburtshow.com and tell us what you need. This morning, Bruno's up. Bruno, how can we help you?
Hey, how you doing? Good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Thanks for being with us. What's up?
Yeah, just giving a call. I work at a 12-month men's addiction recovery center called No Longer Bound here in Cumming, Georgia. And we just want to be able to get the word out to be able to not only help men and families that are struggling with this nasty disease, but also bring hope through our program for those that really need help. But we need, it takes an army. It takes a village to really battle this nasty disease, and our community needs to rally together.
Well, if all you need is
reach out to y'all to do that.
Yeah, if all you need is promotion, you came to the right place. We've got 19 listeners.
Bruno, before you tell us about your organization, I'm curious how you got involved.
Yeah, well, I'll give it a short version of it because it's a long story. But honestly, it's just been a calling that's been put on my heart from God, to be honest with you. I moved here from about 6 years right before the pandemic from North Dakota, of all places, on a whim, and moved down here with my family, and was thinking I was going to be an insurance agent and was as close to getting a State Farm agency as I possibly could. And then got a nudge after volunteering about literally six times at No Longer Bound, just helping, you know, bring a little hope and fellowship to the men by bringing them dinners with my small group. And then the last time, God just kind of solidified in my heart that that's where I needed to be. And so I left the path of security and just trusted, and started January of 24. And now I get an opportunity to bridge that gap of making a lasting impact with the men that I get to come across with, but also go out and advocate and do build partnerships with organizations, businesses, and people like you to get the word out so we can help more people.
Dude, that's beautiful, man. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you followed that calling. So, Mikey, why are you in here?
So I'm going to volunteer at No Longer Bound next week at the thrift shop.
Oh, great.
I volunteered, how old am I, 23? in seventh grade, my school did this thing, like day of service, and so they would split up parts of the class and send them to different places. I went to No Longer Bound. Bruno, you might have to help me here, but I believe I was at like a warehouse sorting some of the donations to go to the thrift shop. Is that a thing that happens?
Yeah, so that building itself on our campus has actually changed over the years. We've been around for 34 years. So, so yeah, that building is now has a new purpose. But yeah, we used to do everything right on campus and then go out to our thrift stores. But now we got one of our thrift stores that handles all the logistics for us.
Okay. And yeah, next week I'm going to the thrift store.
Okay, great.
Do some more sorting.
Fantastic, man.
It's time.
Great. So, Bruno, where can people find more out about your organization?
Yeah, so we have our website, www.nolongerbound.com. That's our main organization that kind of filters everything that we do, from our program to our for-profit side of our businesses with our thrift stores. As Mikey was just mentioning, we have three of them. We got one in Dawsonville, one in Woodstock, and one in Johns Creek. And they all support the overarching mission of helping men overcome their addiction with sobriety. And we also have our No Longer Bound Cars program on site, where the guys get to work on the vehicles, but we also take donated vehicles and then we sell them.
Fantastic, man. What great work you guys are doing here. Here's what we additionally can do for you. We will definitely link over from our website. And if you want to help out, No Longer Bound, all the info will be on our website at thebirdshow.com. All right, Bruno, thanks a lot for calling in. Glad we can help.
Hey, appreciate you guys. You guys have a good rest of your day.
You too. Take care now.
Listen, it's The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
Every now and then, a news headline will come across my desk, and I go, that is a wild thing to say from a journalist. And this headline just says, does Ellen DeGeneres hate men? So this article says that there's no shortage of people willing to talk about the press about how horrible Ellen DeGeneres is. Another one has popped up in the British tabloids this week. So the unidentified staffer from Ellen's talk show says she disliked the men that worked for her, and she would get particularly upset with them if they mingled with her wife, Portia. The problem was that Portia was nice to everybody, so guys would sometimes be forced into talking to her. And the quote from this person says, you just hoped and prayed you weren't seated by Portia so you didn't get her attention. And if you did, Ellen would give you what staffers call the Ellen gaze, where she would narrow her eyes and it would look like her cheekbones were sticking out. And the staffer said it made her look quote, like a queen looking for her next execution. Supposedly, they went through 9 male stage managers in a single season, and one guy on staff had a kid who needed a bone marrow transplant, and Ellen asked him to reschedule it to coincide with the Christmas holiday week so it wouldn't disrupt the show, and he did it.
What?
Yeah.
She says, I mean, she's been very, very honest saying, like, I am a very demanding boss. So would this go under the category of demanding?
I mean, I guess that goes under the category of demanding. But I mean, getting jealous because your wife is talking to a man.
Yeah. It goes under the category of heartless.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There's one thing to want to preserve, but there are other people in the industry who you could hire to temp.
Right.
And if you have enough advance notice, you could bring them on to train. And you're Ellen, so I know you're rich enough to do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's hard. That's not demanding. That's heartless.
Could you imagine telling me, sorry, Kristen, you need to reschedule your child's bone marrow transplant because we're in the middle of a big book and these are ratings. So can you save it for the holidays, please?
Yes.
In fact, I think he just did imagine it.
That would never happen.
Okay, we were robbed of a huge music power couple because Mariah Carey is going on the record and saying that when Tupac made the moves on her and said, hi, Mariah, she honestly thought about getting into a relationship with him.
I loved hip hop and I loved the moments that we're talking about. Yeah. Especially, hi, Mariah. so, yeah, it was a pretty major moment for me, to say the least.
That would have been the power couple of all power couples, I'm telling you, Mariah. Like, no one.
I wish.
Oh, my God. I will say, there is something about celebrities that when they get together, it just scratches my brain the right way. Like, I know I'm very parasocial about Taylor Swift, and like, when I see her and Travis Kelce, I'm like, oh, my God, they're so cute. Or when I see Selena Gomez and Benny Blanc. And that's about it. Josh Allen and Hailee Steinfeld, like, oh my God, they're so cute. Like, I just love seeing two successful people both killing it in their industries get together. Like, it just warms my heart.
But I would put Benny Blanco and Selena Gomez at the top of that list. That man is so emotionally intelligent. Like, who wouldn't want a man like that? Okay.
Okay, wait a second. Here we go. Now I got to step in. You wouldn't want a man like that because he's not aesthetically pleasing, but he's emotionally intelligent. Looks over emotional. Is that what you're saying here?
I just personally wouldn't want to date Benny Blanco. I think he has a heart of gold, and I think Selena Gomez is the happiest she's ever been, and that makes me happy. So, yeah.
Sometimes you just make it hard for need to root for you.
Listen, I'm just saying the thing you're not supposed to say. And I'm just being honest that I think he could try a little harder in that area.
He can't change his face. Well, what do you mean? Like,
he could pluck his eyebrows a little bit, maybe, you know.
Put a comb through his hair.
No, brush his hair a little bit. I don't know.
And I get that, like, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So, you know, to each their own as far as like what you find attractive. But I will tell you what makes Benny Blanco extremely attractive is the way he treats Selena Gomez and his mentality and his emotional intelligence. Like, the man gets it. And there is nothing sexier than a man who gets it.
Yes, there is. Good looks.
Selena Gomez has gone on the record and said the same thing. She's like, I'll be honest with you. He wasn't across my radar. Like, I wasn't thinking about him that way. And then all of a sudden, he put the Benny Blanco charm on her. And here she is in love and engaged.
I'm going to watch life beat you down here. Because at 28 years old, you get this long list of things you're looking for in a man. And in 5 years, you're going to take 7 things off of that list.
God.
And in 10 years, you take 10 off of it before you're stuck with a 5'4" guy that treats you really well.
Flag on the play. You only date hot people. Every single person I know that you've been with has been an objective 10. And you're going to look at me and say looks shouldn't matter?
I can't help who is attracted to me.
Yeah, shut up. This is so hypocritical. Abby, it's not important.
Look,
the woman you're dating is one of the most beautiful people I've ever seen in my life.
And I assure you, she did not fall in love with me for my looks.
Yeah, she has vision problems.
She's half blind. Are you guys both half blind in one eye?
She might have really, really bad vision problems, and that's why I hide the contact lenses.
This is The Burt Show.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Abby, I am willing here to share a statistic that I already know you are going to reject. It stands against everything that you stand for. And I do feel like sometimes that because we do what we do for a living, when pop culture is the center of what we do, sometimes we think the rest of the world thinks the exact same way, and it doesn't, right? Poll out this morning says that 72% of Americans don't care that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are engaged. 72%.
Did Joe Rogan put out that poll or something? Like who are we backing up here?
I wonder if we do live in this bubble, though. Like, most people are living their lives, they're going to work, they got kids to take care of, they got way bigger problems, and this just it doesn't even register. How nice for these two people.
Well, whether or not you care or not, it's just an opinion, but the reality and the facts are, when she announced her engagement, it is now the number one most liked post on Instagram, which makes it global news.
And I don't believe that number. I think it's cool for people to like even pretend like they don't care. And I get like if you're not wholly invested. It's just, it's nice when two people find love.
Agreed.
So just see it for what it is. But, you know, for 72% of people to say they don't care, I'm like, I think you're just trying to be like the cool kid and like trying not to care about what everybody else is talking about.
Yeah, it didn't make sense to me either, but I sometimes do wonder, like, this is what we do for a living, this is what our algorithm is, and everything, people don't care.
Yeah, but surveyjunkie.com said 73% of people.
Look, I was aware that you guys were going to reject that statistic, so I do come bearing gifts. 39 perfectly extra reactions to Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's big engagement reveal. I'm not going to do all 39, but these are some of the highlights, okay? A 28-year-old Seattle woman texted her boyfriend, all caps, "Taylor and Travis got engaged. I have a new stepdad." Layla is 33 years old. She is a bookstagrammer. I don't even know what that is.
It's somebody who runs an account solely surrounding book reviews and book recommendations.
Okay. Reacted so intensely to the engagement news that her boss asked if she needed to take the rest of the day off.
Did you see that H&R Block let their employees go home because of the engagement announcement?
No.
I saw that on social media. So that could be a lie, but I'm pretty sure it was real.
Really?
Yeah, shout out H&R Block.
New York City's Empire State Building got swept up in the excitement. They posted a TikTok of someone screaming from an observation deck to the city below, "Taylor Swift is engaged!"
Like the town crier?
Yes.
Hear ye, hear ye.
New York Times journalist Morgan Greenwald wrote on X that she's running around the office telling everyone Taylor Swift is engaged like Paul Revere.
I'll be honest with you, I had a hair appointment literally minutes after I found out the news, and I felt like walking in, I needed to be Paul Revere, being like, the wedding is coming, the wedding is coming.
Now, these were just two observations that I found kind of interesting. I can't comprehend the prenup they're both going to sign.
Yeah, that's going to be that's going to be deep.
What's to comprehend? They're two very rich people who have very big time lawyers. They're going to get together, have a little chit chat, say, you keep your stuff, I keep my stuff. Let's get married.
I mean, and she's got a lot more stuff than he has, no doubt.
Yeah. Right? But I mean, in any other case, he would have a ton of assets he needs to protect. Like, I think this is just like a massive outlier situation where it just happens to be a billionaire we're talking about here.
And here's the last one. And I think Kristen brought this up too, Abby, yesterday. I'm convinced that the next defining moment of our generation as millennials is going to be the question, where were you the day that you found out Taylor was engaged? It's true though, right?
It's big global news. I mean, when you become the number one liked post on Instagram within 16 hours or whatever, like, you're making a global impact whether you like her or not.
This is The Bert Show.
Let's get back here to Addison and Alex. All right, yeah, who wants to explain this? I thought we were done with this. Yeah. I thought we were done with this last week.
People keep on hitting us up, man. We're not seeking them out. They're seeking us out.
Addison. Leave The Bert Show alone.
All right, so Addison hit us up, and she's like, guys are, like, have crossed a line. I'm over it. These DMs that I'm getting, these messages I'm getting on these dating apps are so inappropriate. And I feel inspired by this woman on social media that I want to reach out to their mothers and I want to read them. I want to read these mothers what their sons have written me. These crass, over the top, unhinged, rude messages that they have no business sending. And I know their mothers would be so disappointed in them. So that's what we did. We hunted down these guys' moms. And for 3 days straight, Addison read the messages to the mothers of these men. And the first one was really out of the box because he was into farts. And the mom didn't even really like believe what was going on. Understood. The next one was Alex. And he went on a tirade after he was rejected by Addison and just reamed her, right? And when we told his mom, Lucille, she was like, yeah, no, that tracks. My boy's got a chip on his shoulder about women. That apple doesn't far fall from the tree because my ex-husband was that way.
I think it's funny you use the word ream considering what the last one is.
Oh. And then the last one was
more
so
about salads.
Crass. It was the first message that she got from him. And he wanted to do unspeakable things to her that some people are into, but it's not something you tell a perfect stranger.
It wasn't unspeakable because he spoke it. Quite
it's lovely. A request you might make of somebody you've known, like been in a relationship for 7 years.
Years.
Yeah. He's a vegetarian.
Yeah.
He's munching.
Yes, he is. All right, so here we got, remember the second guy that Kristen is talking about was just so rude that we read the exchange he had with Addison to his mom. Mm-hmm. His mom's name is Lucille. Hey, good morning, Lucille.
Hi.
I want to introduce you to Addison.
So I politely declined a date with your son. His response was, let me guess, your friends hype you up as the catch of the group, but in reality, they only bring you out so you can make them look better. You think you're intimidating men, but really you're just exhausting them. You'll never find someone who checks all your boxes because your list is longer than your dating history, and both are embarrassing.
I love my son, but he has a huge chip on his shoulders about women, just like his father who cheated on me. I'm not surprised. I'm really not.
The fact that she wasn't surprised, I think we all found very, very surprising. Then dude calls up yesterday, the son, and he's chewing us out for exposing his text, and he was nothing but like a victim, no remorse at all. Just one of these guys that you meet that never does anything wrong, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of chew him out on the show yesterday, and now his mom is here. Hey, moms.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Oh, I don't know. I do have to say that, you know, I'm very remorseful about the things I said about my son and my ex-husband. You know, my son was very upset, and I just want to apologize to my son on the air.
Well,
I feel really bad.
Well,
you
have a gear he doesn't, where you feel bad about something because he didn't feel bad about that text and that dialogue that he sent. So why are you okay? So you feel bad that he feels bad?
I do. You know, after all, that is my son, you know, and his family. You know, I guess I shouldn't have said that on air. I guess I should have just kept my feelings inside, but I just want to apologize to him and make things right, you know. It's trial and error while you're dating, I guess, you know. Hopefully he just learns from it, and I'm sure he will. He is a good son. He is good.
Lucille, I want to hold your hand while I say this.
Oh, no.
You are part of the problem, and it's evident now. And I'm trying to be so gentle. I'm not really not trying to come down on you at all. Your son said something horrific to a woman who rejected him. All right. And you came on here and you called him out, as you should have. And sometimes people need to hear it from the people closest to them that what they're doing is BS. And I recognize and respect that you want to make it right with your son. You love him. He's your baby boy and he always will be. We love our kids literally no matter what they do.
I know. And I understand. And you know, maybe with what I said, you know, I mean, I do sincerely apologize. But I think he will be a better person because of it. And I really do, you know, pray that he, you know, this turns the page and he sees, and I do believe he's going to do the right thing.
All right. So question for you here, Lucille. So he calls you up. He says that he's very, very upset. You listen to him. Do you voluntarily say to yourself, okay, I'll make it right to you? Or does he say, call the radio station, I need an apology?
Well, not in those words, but you know, he was pissed and he has every right to be pissed about putting personal stuff on air. And like I said before, it is my son. But I just do believe that he'll learn from this, and I want to apologize. I'd never do this again. You know, it's family. What can I say? You don't do that to family.
Just because someone is family doesn't mean you excuse their bad behavior. And I respect you apologizing for airing it out on the air. And I agree with that part. Like, it can be handled internally, but please don't give him a free pass on the hateful words that he's been saying.
Is it possible that you've given him so many free passes over the years that he thinks sending a text like this is okay?
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe. We'll have to sit down and talk about it, you know. That's possible. I'm not denying, you know, but I have to apologize to him. I'm not going to destroy my family over something he said to a girl, and you know, it is his life, and we'll just have to sit down and talk about it. I don't agree with it, but I do in my heart believe, you know, that he'll grow from this, and maybe I am part of the problem. I don't know, but it's my family. So I really am very, very sorry for putting this information on air and voicing my opinion. It's not good.
Lucille, now that you're going to handle this behind closed doors, do you think there's any hope of him maybe possibly seeing a therapist to help him?
I'll talk to him about that.
When you say we're going to have a conversation, do you get an opinion in those conversations, or is it him mostly just talking?
Usually mostly it's just him talking, but I will voice my opinion, you know, privately with him and discuss it, because I don't want him to ruin his life, you know? It's important that he, you know, takes the right steps, and hopefully he will get help, and...
I appreciate you calling. I think we have a very clear idea what happened here, and we appreciate you calling. And hopefully you handle this off the air with him the way that you see fit, okay?
I sure will try. Thank you, guys.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
She's just a mom trying to do the right thing.
That makes me sad, though. But, I mean, I have said this for how long on this show? When you take a look at your kids, right, and they are doing things that are going sideways, for me, the first thing I do is I take responsibility for that. What did I do in their past that has made them think that sending a text message like this, what message did I... You have to take a look at yourself as a parent also. Did you create this?
Yeah, I think Dad had a heavy hand in this, honestly, and I respect her. as a mother, I get it. Like, it's her boy. Like, you don't want to admit that your kid did something gross. And I actually really appreciate that she called up to publicly apologize to him for airing that stuff out on the radio. I just hope she takes a harder stance with him in private and just says that it's, that language is not acceptable. That's what your father did. You don't want to be like your father, because she told us dad cheated on her and had a chip on his shoulder about women, and son has it now. And I think, like, she has a chance to help her son break that cycle.
Now, see, you're giving more grace than I am probably this morning, because if it came from a place where she felt bad about it and she volunteered to come on, but I am just assuming he calls mom up, chews mom's booty out. How could you do this to me? I'm so embarrassed, blah, 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 blah. You call that radio station and you apologize to me. That's what I think went down.
Oh, I totally agree with you, but I'm trying to put myself in her shoes. Like, if my son did that, absolutely, I would be calling the radio station to apologize, because I want to have a relationship with my son, even if he's a crappy human being. Mm-hmm. But I would like to think that in private, I would sit down and be like, yeah, what I did was wrong. You're totally right. And I'm sorry. But let's talk about what you did was wrong in this context, too, and why you're speaking to people this way and why you think it's appropriate.
Abby, I did get a picture of him. He's very good looking. Do you want his number?
Yeah, I can fix him.
It's the Burt Show.
All right, most people know Alexander the Great as the guy who created one of the largest empires in history. But what I think he should get credit for is being the queen bee of the most toxic friend group known to man. So toxic, he actually murdered two of his closest confidants.
Hear ye, hear ye. Come forth, all Instagram baddies and crypto bros, for the most salacious gossip in the whole village.
Abby's done the work to bring you
the old gossip.
So Alexander the Great was history's original overachiever. He conquered half of the known world by 25, and by 30, he's basically the CEO of Earth. Like, he's out here collecting empires.
The CEO of Earth?
He's like, how much does the Earth cost? I'm going to buy the Earth.
Well, when you have, like, your name followed by the Great, you better own the Earth.
Right.
He's the Great.
Right.
He's collecting empires like I collect hotel mini shampoos. But the real tea is his friend group was a hot mess, like toxic squad goals had a Mount Rushmore. These guys would be on it, and not like a nice inspirational Mount Rushmore, the one where George Washington is crying in a corner and Abe Lincoln is stabbing him in the back. So first up in our toxic friend group, it's Cletus the Black, which is it says his name. So don't come for me in the DMs. They literally had to call him Cletus the Black so he would not be confused with Cletus the White, who was also called Cletus the White.
I didn't realize Lana Del Rey was around back then playing this music.
His claim to fame was saving Alexander's life in battle. Literally, he chopped a guy's arm off mid-swing. Huge hero moment. MVP, the kind of friend who helps you move apartments and brings his own moving truck. But A few years later, Cletus gets drunk at one of Alexander's banquets, because obviously Alexander threw banquets like weekly yoga classes. And what does he do? He starts roasting Alexander. Like, back in my day, your dad Philip was the real king. Bad move, considering Alexander is holding a spear and has daddy issues the size of Macedonia. And boom! Cletus becomes the entree. Murder! At the dinner party. Like, sir, that is not a wine pairing. That is manslaughter with hummus. Next up. Next up is Parmenion. He's the older general, the responsible one, probably the guy who carried everyone's passports and made sure that chariots had gas. He's the adult in the room, the one who texts everyone reminders, hey, don't forget the spear sharpening people. But Alexander starts thinking Parmenion might be plotting against him. And does he pull him aside for a chat? Nope. Does he send passive aggressive notes? Nope. He sends an assassin. Like, imagine your boss fires you but skips HR and just hires a hitman. That's not leadership. That's a Netflix true crime documentary waiting to happen. And here's the kicker. Parmenion is 70 years old. Like, maybe let him retire with a pension, a villa, and a nice llama. But nope, dead. He killed him just like that. Honestly, that's why no one wants to be friends with overachievers, because they will murder you if they think you're competing. The last one is Hephaestion. This is Alexander's best friend, rumored lover, and emotional support general. And when he dies, probably from a fever because ancient medicine was basically just like rub dirt on it and hope for the best, Alexander loses it. And not like, oh, I'm going to curate a sad playlist and cry into some ice cream, lose it. No, he full on cancels the music, shaves the horses, crucifies the doctor, and loses it. Imagine your bestie dies on you and you're like, I'm canceling Spotify Premium and I'm also executing the nurse. That's not grief. That is a full Bravo reality show meltdown. And the empire just goes along with it. No questions. You know that moment when a toddler decides to nap on the floor and everyone just tiptoes around him? That's ancient Babylon under Alexander. And all of this drama, it usually happened at banquets because obviously Alexander loved a party. Wine flowing, everyone's togas accidentally showing more than intended. Basically, ancient frat parties with swords. Someone's always drunk. Someone's always crying. Someone probably gets stabbed. Picture a Greek wedding. Hors d'oeuvres, gossip, awkward dancing, and suddenly your uncle is dead because someone misremembered a battle story. That's dinner with Alexander. I'd personally stick with Olive Garden. So yeah, Alexander conquered Egypt, Persia, Babylon, but his real legacy, the most toxic friend group in the world. Forget empires. This was a Bravo reunion with swords. And the moral of the story is you can be called the great, but if your conflict resolution style is stab now, cry later, congratulations. You're just the ancient world's most successful toxic ex.
Thank you, Abby. Thank you. Well done.
Your history lesson for today?
Yield, gotcha.
I've learned so much.
Manslaughter with a side of hummus.
And Cletus.
And Cletus.
Times two.
Here, Bird Show.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.